Hey, my friends, this is Russ Dizdar. Thanks for joining us tonight, Friday night, the 25th of September. It is 6 p.m. here at Eastern Standard Time. Outside, it seems like it's about 68 degrees. Beautiful, but a little cool, even for this area. Listen, I hope that you're doing well tonight, and we've got some explosive things that are occurring all across our nation. All across our nation. Today is the day in which 50,000 Muslims have said they're coming together at Capitol Hill for prayer. And so they're there, and prayers are going up, and statements are being made. So I was reading a number of the articles today and some of the news concerning it. And I think that when I mentioned this just the other night, there's been a number of you that have emailed, and many of you were shocked that this was going on. It's not something that's a major thing that's being announced everywhere. Not everybody knows about it. But I think that it's, listen, I believe that it's historic because of the phrases that are out there, such things as "our time has come." Now, I'm reading an article right now by Jeff Diamet, and he is a religious news service. Here's what it says in the beginning. Tens of thousands of Muslims planned to pray for the soul of America outside the U.S. Capitol today in what is being described as a first-of-its-kind event. I want you to hear this again because it truly is a first-of-its-kind event. I've said to all of you in the past that who you call on, if it's a real deity, a spirit, a presence, well, listen, it will come. It will come. There will be a reaction. And it's very, very vital when we look at all of Scripture to see how we are to call upon the Lord. The great revelation of Scripture is, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. It's the name Jesus Christ. Now there's a reason for that, and I want the Muslims listening right now and those who are Arabs, listen to what we have to say in this one short hour, because it is coming from someone that was once not a Christian, that was into the occult, New Age spirituality and Buddhism. But I came to know Christ. And you've got to understand that coming to know Christ means that we're not a part of five pillars or five rules. It's not about religion per se. It is a dynamic relationship where the living Christ who once died, rose from the dead, ascended again, now by the omnipresent Spirit of God, comes literally within to live. And again, thousands and thousands of you who are believers in Christ, doesn't make any difference where you've come from, what background you've come from. It's not a national thing. It's not a racial thing. It's a human race, pos anthropos, as the Bible calls it, all humanity. And this is what we need to understand, that there is a mission that God has brought to a fallen and broken world where death exists, wars continue, and human misery, depression, loneliness, and harm are a part of daily life. It is a struggle. It is a ragged edge. There is a mission that comes from God. Please understand, there's another mission going on. There's a spiritual mission going on all around us. There is ultimately a clash. Ultimately, a clash between two kingdoms. There is a mission on both sides. Now, I'm going to talk tonight about the mission of Allah and Islam, and maybe some Muslims can write in tonight. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net. No doubt that thousands upon thousands of Muslims, you know, in the capital area right now can be on their, be on the internet and be listening, let alone across the nation, Canada, and other parts of the world. And I want you to know that, anybody listening tonight can write in if you have a question or comment concerning the show tonight and what we've been talking about for the last number of days. This week, the emphasis Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and tonight is to be on the issue of, well, who is Allah? What is the mission of Allah? What are the attributes of Allah? Now, we've done most of that tonight, is talking about the mission. And listen, that mission will be somewhat evident as 50,000 Muslims gather in the United States of America, there among the capital in Washington, D.C. Now, I've read some of the other articles here, and I'm told, listen, there are those that have written, these are Muslims that have said, listen, we're gathering because we want the rest of America to know that we're not terrorists, and that we are Americans and that we love America. And I can appreciate the Muslim who said this in the article that I have before me. I read this, and I appreciate what is being said, but there are going to be those who are going to read the Quran out loud there in Washington at the Capitol who have been suspect and who have been connected to the defense of terrorists and who are committed to the agenda. And so it's very important that we hear tonight the agenda that there is that comes. And we've said already, Allah is real. Allah is a spirit being, even though in the kind of theology of the Muslim scholars of the Quran, listen, Allah is not supposed to be personal. He's nothing that relates to humanity, nor does he incarnate and literally contaminate himself by any kind of incarnation. So quite different than the concept of the living God that has come among humanity. So Muslims, I want you to hear from the book of Hebrews a simple verse that talks about God, and it says this: since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. Now, why is that true? Now, when you read and study in Hebrews 2 and so forth, you're going to find out that God came in human flesh to taste death, to experience as a sinless Savior the power of death, and that by experiencing it, you've got to understand that he came to destroy it, and to destroy the one that holds the power over death. Death is a big issue. Death is coming about as millions die the world over in war and bloodshed. I mean, it's been this week that we've heard about individuals being arrested for terror plots here in the United States. But again, listen, Mr. and Mrs. Muslim, it is Muslims in the United States that have been doing this across the board. Now, I have no doubt that there is shadow government and all kinds of other things that are going on, but there is a mission. And everybody, listen, conspiracy theorists need to understand that Allah is real and that there is a real spiritual mission behind the entity Allah. Now, I've said the other night, and I don't know if it offends anybody, but I'm asking you to research it. 2,600 years ago, in Daniel's day, in the Persian Empire that covers the entire region where Iran, Iraq, and Syria and all these other countries are, that's where the Prince of Persia, the ruling territorial spirit, attached to the land, to the politics, and to the peoples. This Prince of Persia has laid claim to the region, to the territory, and operates with many other spirits in bringing control. Its attributes are clearly that of demonic presence. Daniel knew about it. This Prince of Persia fought against the angels of God and any answered prayer that was coming in. Listen, answered prayer was coming. And the Prince of Persia fought against God's holy elect angels and obviously was opposed to Daniel and those who believed in the personal, relational, living God. Now listen, before I go deeper into this, let me say this. My name is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. It's great to be with you tonight on a Friday night before the kicking off of this weekend. I know that many are going to be listening to this later in archives. Some of you are downloading it and sending it to friends. That's great. I'd love to hear from you. I know that we also have a broadcast that we do on Sunday night, and then we have a podcast website called Preemption Broadcast Podomatic. You can get to all of that if you go to shatterthedarkness.net. Now listen, that is the place where you can find all the information, all the background about us, what we're all about, and there's hundreds of hours of MP3s that are free for you to have. We're doing a series on the rise of Homo Satanus, the Antichrist. We're doing a series on Psy Wars and remote viewing. We're doing a series on discernment in this age of unprecedented supernatural manifestation and powers. Now, if you do go there, you're going to be able to link to or click on a link that goes to the Podomatic. We just put up a brand new part of the series on Homo Satanus, the rise of the Antichrist. This one we did on the birth, the occult birth, the counterfeit incarnation. It's up there free. Each one of the MP3s, it's about an hour long. So I wanted you to know about that because literally around the world, this year, there will be at least 1 million downloads of all these MP3s. So I want to say to those who are downloading, to those who might be listening right here and right now, welcome. Welcome those who are in Spain, Slovenia, Norway, Russia, Amsterdam, around all throughout Canada, United States, of course, too, and around the world. That's just a number of places we get to watch on the servers there where that download, where those downloads are going out. So I'm just saying that we have a lot of friends all over the place. And on this live show right now, we are. It's also archived. If you go to Steve Quayle's site, we have a link to it. You can get to it that way. And we have our own archives to the live shows also. So we are hoping to give you all that we can. And we simply are telling you one thing, that there is a supernatural, compelling, well, love and grace that motivates the voice you hear right now. And I unashamedly say that is the living Christ who has loved me and has come into my heart and life 35 years ago, never left me, never forsook me, and helps me through all of life, guides me, directs me. And I simply proclaim that he's alive just as the scripture says, as the Spirit of God testified, as the elect angels of God have clearly given testimony to, as all of scripture, Old and New Testament, gives witness to. And listen, even the demons know who he was and is. They fear him and they know that a day of judgment of all radical evil, of Satan himself, is all coming down the pike. But we are in the midst. You do know this. And for the thousands and thousands and thousands of believers in Christ that listen, I know that you are the ones that you know more than anybody what time it is. You've been studying the prophetic revelation of Scripture. You've been looking at the culture around us, and you can feel it in the air and see it by the declaration of prophetic revelation. We are in the end of times. Steve Quayle has told you that for a long time and have brought out some of the deeper biblical revelations that most have never touched on. And we hope that we've been doing the same. The book, The Black Awakening, will be shipped out hopefully this next week to everybody. And that we will be getting that out to everybody. And I want you to realize that we have worked hard and long. We have seen difficulties along the way. Just a month ago in the completion of everything, we were going to try to send it out even weeks ago. And 172 pages of edited material were lost. It all had to be re-edited. And that's why there has been a delay. But we're talking now a week, 10 days, and hopefully when the boxes come in here, We're shipping out quickly. Second book on the way will be The Abyss. And the third book coming in December is called R1919. Listen, Russ Dizdar, ShadowTheDarkness.net. On the station and the hour that was granted by God's grace through Steve Quayle, we're on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. on the SurviveToThrive.net network that Steve Quayle still appears on, and his old shows still are released on Friday nights. Matter of fact, I believe after this 1 hour that we have with you. Tonight we're talking about 50,000 Muslims. Right there, Capitol Hill, United States of America. The goal of many of them are saying, hey, we're here to show peace. We're here to show, what we're all about. We want to show that we love America. And no question, in the United States of America, there is freedom of religion, freedom of being able to express and proclamation. And just as Muslims are declaring and realizing and recognizing and sharing that in their proclamations tonight in America, 50,000 Muslims, Capitol Hill. Now, to the Muslims, I want you to hear me when I say tonight, that's not going to be true in Saudi Arabia, in Syria, Jordan, Iraq, Iran, all across the lands that are literally owned and under the power. And you know this. You know this very well. 50,000 Christians could not amass together and pray for Saudi Arabia. They couldn't do it in Iran. They couldn't do it other places. Now, here's what we've got to come to terms with. We do know that in Iraq and Iran and other places, churches are not filled with, you know, weapons. Christians, believers in the living personal Christ that love him, they're not on a mission of terrorism to explode mosques. But we've seen the opposite. So if Muslims are gathering in Washington, D.C., then it needs to, listen, we need to hear you say, we condemn the radical terrorism. We condemn. Because we do that. We say, whether it's shadow government's involvement, whether it's direct Muslim involvement around the world. I mean, look what's occurring in the Sudan. Why are there so many dying in the Sudan? And again, at Muslim hands. And we need to come to grips with the bloodshed that is there. Now, I've had people say, well, Russ, you know, there's all religions have done this in some degree. Well, in somewhat, yes. In the politicized or political takeover of Christendom, there's no question that political empires who are the military chiefs of their nations, when they have taken over Christendom and basically began to infuse political rule within the body of Christ, which should never be done, that is when we find, you know, a pope taking an olive branch, dipping in water and sprinkling it over all those individuals, declaring them to be Christians and being sent out on crusades. You don't become a Christian at all by somebody dipping a branch into some holy water and sprinkling it and telling you to go out in the name of Christ to destroy Muslims. You cannot find in the Gospels or in the Book of Acts, which is a 30-year history of the early church, you cannot find one iota of a military mission. You cannot find a call to arms. That is left for the realm of political empires. You can study Romans chapter 13 about that. So let me contrast the mission of Allah and the mission of Jesus Christ. Let's contrast that tonight, because in reading the Quran and reading specific pieces of it, in hearing more and more and more information about the belief in a Mahdi. Now, Muslims, as you listen tonight, there's some of you who can write to us again, ShatterXmail, sbcglobal.net, and you can tell us what you believe about the Mahdi. But more and more and more and more is coming out about that. And again, I think that any Christian, any person interested in reading a book called Antichrist, Islam's Awaited Messiah by Joel Richardson. There is a foreword to the book by Pastor Reza Safa. And I know Pastor Reza and flew him in here for some meetings that he had here. A former Shiite Muslim, by the way, who now knows the person of the living Christ. Here's what Reza Safa says about this book, Antichrist, Islam's Awaited Messiah. This book is central to recognizing the fulfillment of biblical end times prophecy in our day and understanding the role that Islam plays in it. Now, it's very important, and I'm going to tell you also that Islam does have an active role in the end of days. I'm talking about Islam. I'm not saying so much Arab individuals. And you do know that thousands and thousands of Arabs, even in the countries that outlaw being saved, being baptized, confessing Christ publicly. I mean, there's an outlawing of this. You know, in those nations, there's an outlaw. Maybe Muslims that are meeting on Capitol Hill tonight can cry out to Saudi Arabia and Jordan and Syria and Iran and Iraq and tell them how they should all open the doors to religious freedom so that millions of Arabs can hear clearly the message of the gospel, of the love of Christ and what he's done, what he can do for an individual right now. I mean, because it comes down to choice. I'm going to tell you right now that there are many, many Muslims in those lands that feel that they are literally forced to be a Muslim. Raised that way, of course. But if you don't show up at the mosque, what happens? If you continue to walk away, what happens in your family? You know, if a person becomes, if a Muslim, Arab Muslim, becomes a real believer in Christ, what does the family do? What does the neighborhood do? What does the law of the land decide? Now these, the law of the land, the consensus in the neighborhoods, all bears the marks of the agenda of Allah. Let me mention just three things about the agenda of Allah. Obviously, when Muslims go to Capitol Hill tonight and are there today, part of the declarations and some of the websites and declarations that have been told is that they will proclaim Allah as supreme God. They will chant that, speak that, and everybody that understands spiritual engagement must understand that the territorial being that is called Allah can and does respond to them that appease and call and do what it is that he requires, that it requires. Does that mean that there will be a larger manifestation of the presence or the extension of Allah in Capitol Hill? By the way, tonight, one, and I haven't found this out yet today, whether or not the President of the United States, who completely avoided the National Day of Prayer, whether he'll avoid this day of Muslim prayer there at the Capitol. Doors are being opened as never before in human history, all over. Fulfillment of what God the Holy Spirit has said is being demonstrated before our very eyes. In the United States of America, where there are supposed to be 500,000 local churches, one would ask the question, where are the, quote, supposed to be 150 million people that believe in Jesus Christ? Now, again, the mission is different, but the question is, where is the mission of the body of Christ? And where is the sense of spiritual alarm in the day in which we live? You know, I was a pastor of four churches in a 30-year period. In all those churches, we led them to pray and to spend time in prayer right in the Sunday morning service, praying for the nation, praying for the state, praying for the leadership, those in authority, praying for our city, praying for the lost, praying for family members, praying for God's power to be extended, praying for God's love to be, you know, released, praying for God's miracles to be touching, praying for spiritual awakening and revival to occur, praying against satanic powers and dark spirits and all the encroachment that we see. We led church meetings, whether small or large, through a series of prayer like that that took sometimes 10, 20, 30 or more minutes while we experienced the interaction of the Spirit of God, and it was awesome. Just the prayer time alone would let the people know that God was present. Yet I have been visiting churches lately because I've been attending one church for 2 years now, now that I'm not a local pastor. And I've been attending a number of churches. There's a lot of great churches around and people that love God, but I've seen that the church has lost its spiritual impact and its ability to understand the laws of spiritual engagement. A lot of churches gather and there's worship, which is intended to bring the believer in Christ into personal worship and fellowship and communion with God. But in church after church after church after church that I've visited, I have watched where anywhere from 38 seconds to 1 minute and 30 seconds of prayer has been offered. And primarily for the offering, for the beginning of the service, for general things, or a closing prayer. Add it all up, 38 seconds of prayer, 1 minute 60 seconds in prayer. Are we nuts? Are we crazy? Have we lost the mission of God? Do we no longer know the power of God? Is this the way the early church did it in Acts chapter 4 when they gathered together, raised their voices together to God in prayer, where they literally quoted scripture and sought God in the advance of the kingdom, the seeking of the power and presence of God? And if you read Acts chapter 4, you're very clear that God answered and God's power struck and even shook a building. Wow. There is so much that can be done. Now, we talked about this a week or so ago on some of the shows we've done. They're all archived. And it's an amazing thing to me that which brings about the miracles, the healing, the power of God, the extension, the incredible presence of God in the early church, Book of Acts, 30-year history of the early church, what we see there is absolutely different than what we see. We've been spiritually in America dumbed down by our own inculturation, our sense of needing to appease humanism, atheism, the agnostics. We, listen, pastors across the nation have been commanded by the Spirit of God. You can check it out. Look at the second chapter, Book of Timothy, where the Spirit of God says to the leadership that first of all, first priority, intercession, prayer of every kind, general and specific, and urgency by the Holy Spirit. And may I say to you that the urgency of the Spirit of God, that the first priority that God the Holy Spirit has given, is what works. Why are we shifting what God has given to the body of Christ, this enormous spiritual doorway of miraculous? Have you ever read Ephesians 3? When Paul kneels down before the Father, from whom the whole family of God in heaven and on earth derive its name, as he prays concerning the power of the Spirit of God, he ends the prayer with saying, according to, listen, this idea, it's the Greek word, huper ekperiosu. It has the idea of his immeasurable, you can't even measure, the presence and power of God. That he answers with great power, immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, dunamis. Christian, do you know the dunamis? It is the expressed, felt, literal presence and power of God that is dwelling within, that we're to be clothed with. It is the evidential sign of the dynamic early church. They were filled with power. They prayed with power. They witnessed in power. Thousands got saved. Buildings shook. People got healed. Demons were crushed. And societies were claiming those believers in Christ that have been going all over have now come here to turn our world upside down. Where has all the power gone? I'm going to tell you right now. Suppression. All of the Satanists I know in the last 30, 40 years, with the rise of the New Age movement, the largest counterfeit alternative spiritual movement in the history of Christianity. From the 60s on out, which was the second largest proliferation of occultic literature in history, according to James Webb, an occult historian, which unleashed the literature that individuals read, that individuals began to believe, and the doors to the spirits in the United States of America were opened like never before in human history. Now we have covens, as some estimate, 100,000 of them in the United States. Now we have ritual calendar dates, which demonstrate that on almost a weekly level there are, and as all the undergrounders and brotherhooders and others tell me, that their covens are meeting, whether they're small, 13 or more. Whether that doesn't make any difference. They're there, gathered. You know what they tell me? They gather unlike churches. You can go to a church where 1,000 people gather, and maybe there are many people that are born again and saved, but there are also many people there that are not. And that the church's service is designed, as an invitation and a welcome. I mean, we're here to welcome, anybody and everybody. That's the way it was when I was a pastor. Welcome everybody into the service. But you don't dumb it down, because all that does is close the doors on what God has willed and what God will do. And turn the church into either a boring, stifling service, or one in which people are having to mock up emotionalism to make it look like God was really demonstrating his powers. If you do God's will, God's way, then you get God all over the place. Can I say it again? If you do God's will, God's way, then you'll get God all over the place. Take a read. Book of Acts, 30-year history. Watch what the early, obedient, Holy Spirit-saturated believers were doing. Now, the reason I say that is there could be across this nation hundreds of thousands of believers. And I would pray, and I pray this, that God will guide pastors by the thousands, that not in a small prayer group with 3 or 4 people on a Tuesday night, or maybe 15 or 20 on a Thursday night, but on Sunday morning, guide by the Spirit of God. You're going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, obedient to the Word of God, if you make intercession prayers, general and specific, a number one frontline priority. As a matter of fact, if you read Timothy chapter 2, what does it tell us? It tells us that this pleases God our Savior, who wills, wants, desires, pas anthropos, all humanity, to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now read that in 2 Timothy. Muslims tonight, you can read, I'm talking about the mission of God. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, the monogenesis, the only begotten son, on the cross. Muslims, he shed his blood. He was sinless. He was more than prophet, priest, and king. The angels declared it. The prophets declared it. This is God now in human flesh. There's a reason why he went to the cross. New Agers can't understand why he went to the cross. Satanists and dark underground brotherhooders, they understand. They know. Because being saturated deeply in the demonic side, even they know their demons despise Christ. Their entire agenda is Antichrist. The demonic kingdom has a mission that is anti-Christ, anti-Israel, anti-fulfillment of prophecy. The more the satanic dominion manifests in the world, whether it's in the New Age, in political ideologies, wherever it's manifesting, you're going to find the evidence of the dark kingdom, the satanic kingdom, expressing a spirit of antichrist, against Christ, against the Word of God, against the message of Jesus. I think that if you think in terms of the satanic presence, the satanic power, the satanic work, then let me tell you something. The evidence in 1 John is about the spirit of Antichrist and how to recognize the spirit of error from the spirit of truth. This is why I want Muslims to hear what I have to say at this point. I want those of you who say, you know what, I don't believe in God, you know, Christ, I don't believe in Muhammad, I just believe in one God. Well, the question is, then who is that God? Let me ask you right now, as you're listening, do you know experientially, personally? See, if you understand the message of Jesus, forget about, you know, just religion or whatever else. I used to use that as my, you know, I used to say, I'm not going to become a Christian. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to do any of this. You know why? Because all Christians are hypocrites. I used to say that because I didn't want to go. I was never there. I didn't go visit, you know, 30 churches and find out until I was engaged by an individual that shared Jesus. The presence and power of God was all over him. And this love that struck me, I literally ran from, got in my car, and drove all the way to my mom and dad's home. I left my apartment where the party was going on. But it was that night the Spirit of God led me, and I opened my heart to Jesus Christ. And he came into my heart and life. I want you to hear that there is a vast, vast difference. There is an omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, living, personal God behind the creation of the universe, the world, in the creation of humanity, a relational God. God who is spirit, God who is love, God who has made himself known, God who wants. I mean, if you look through all scripture, go back 2,700 years ago to Isaiah 46. Where it says, come to me all you ends of the earth and be saved. For I am God and there is no other. See, the picture here isn't just, hey, come to attention, submit, do what I want you to do. God's about come into relationship. Come into fellowship. God is about breaking the barrier, sin, Satan, and opening the door so that we can have instantaneous, immediate access that can be permanent and absolutely eternal. It is what we need to deal with sin, guilt. It is what we need to bring exposure and destruction to satanic ownership. It is what we need to conquer the death code that's within all of us. Jesus Christ, death on the cross, his rising from the dead. In the words of Oz Guinness, who wrote a great book called The Dust of Death, Jesus Christ blasted apart the finality of death. The finality. Very important. Very important. The message of God is, I love you. The message of God is Christ all over the pages of Scripture. The message of God is, I've taken care of all of it at the cross. The message of God is that He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God says that through the prophet Ezekiel. That God is not willing that any single human being, and by divine appointment, that, my friend, is you who are listening right now. He is not willing that even one human being would perish. God loves, and even God in human flesh, when there was rejection, wept over those who rejected, of their being lost. You don't deeply, and I'm not sure Christians deeply understand the passionate, willed, joyful love that God has for each and every one of us, knowing us by name. I say this on Sunday night all the time. I know three things. I got thousands and thousands of books all around me. I read. I've ordered more and more this week. I read everything. I listen. When I sit down with Hindus and Muslims and Satanists and Luciferians and New Age, I listen to them. I only ask that they'll listen to me. I listen to their message and what they have to offer. But I have a message that comes from a living Savior who dwells within. I'm not in a ruled religion. I'm in a relationship where the Word of God now is alive inside. And God leads me to say, and I've said this on Sunday nights numerous times, I know three things for sure. God knows you. God loves you. And nobody more wants you. God wants you. So when you go, and I've got a letter here before me from some individual, and I'm not sure whether they want me to say their name or not, so I'm not going to right now, but this is someone that's writing about you know, what the Quran says, and they're looking at the end time issue here. Now, remember, when the Quran says the prophet Isa, they say Jesus, remember that is completely, contaminated and erroneous information. The Quran that comes 600-700 years later than the Gospels and the whole message, completely, as it brings information about Jesus, it goes against everything Moses said, everything Isaiah said, everything Ezekiel said, everything Jeremiah said, everything Matthew, Mark, Luke, John said, everything, every piece of Scripture has said. So please understand that the Quran does the same thing that Alice Bailey, Helena Blavatsky, the entire New Age movement, remote viewers, they all do the same thing. If you're guided by fallen, finite spirits, even territorial spirits, they cannot, because of their nature and because of their will, they will not point anybody to the real living Christ that God the Holy Spirit, the angels, the elect angels of God do. Please understand that even the demons fell down and confessed that Jesus Christ was whom all the prophets, all the Scripture says. That's why Jesus can say in John's Gospel, chapter 7, I tell you the truth. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, not writings that come 50, 60, 100, you know, like the Gnostics or like, again, the Quran. The Quran, we've already looked at, in contrast, has massive historical errors. We've already looked at the fact that we have one guy guided, and when he's guided, there's times that he falls to the ground, goes into a trance, passes out, foams at the mouth, and wakes up later saying that he talked to Gabriel, or that an angel gave him this. But Galatians chapter 1 says that if an angel or anybody else gives a different gospel, well, there's vast, vast trouble there. So I share with my friend that it's written, I share with those who are listening, that it's again, your choice, whatever it is that you do believe in, bottom line. I just simply ask you, do you know God in a personal way? No Muslim that I've ever met, none that I've ever met and talked, and I purposely ask this. of New Agers and others. Do you personally know God in personal, real fellowship? Do you know that you're loved, that you're in relationship, that you're going to see God face to face, that you've been given the gift of indestructible immortality, that you have all the guilt taken away? See, it's when he comes in, the Spirit of God applies the work of the cross, and there's total removal of the sin issue, of all guilt, and nothing but the joy, the expressed living joy of God comes rushing into your life. So, do you know God? Very important. Now, when the Mahdi, the agenda of Allah, of course, is to lead those who are submitting to Allah and calling on him, and they are to be submitted. And of course, there's teachings throughout the Quran about many things they do, but the overall agenda is to go worldwide, to bring rule and reign everywhere, which also means that they're going to declare everywhere that Jesus is only a little prophet guy, that he's the guy that's going to be around when there's the world Mahdi that is going to come to the world and gonna slay every single Jew possible. No matter where they're at, hunt them down and slay them. That was the spirit of the Nazis. They weren't going to just kill and destroy 6 million Jews there. They were going to go everywhere in the world. If you read or know of the Final Solution, you know that they were going to annihilate every single last one of them. And I'm going to tell you why. Because prophetic scripture shows that there is going to be an end time massive national turning of real Israel to the Messiah. That after they have given into the Antichrist and making the false covenant and all the rest of the stuff, they're going to eventually, you know, be encountered, bottom line, national turning to the living Christ. I would appeal to Israelis listening now, to those who are Jews. Continue to read Isaiah 53. It's not talking about a nation. It's talking about a person, Messiah. I just want you to hear that there are, again, the agenda of Allah being expressed through Muslims in some of the writings. It's no question about it. Kill the infidel. There's no question about it. You know, in the Sudan, you either submit or you're cut up. You either submit or we cut off parts of your body. You either submit or we throw you into the flames. You better read what's going on in Sudan. And that's happened clear back to the very days of Muhammad himself. And so, though there may be those who call themselves moderate Muslims, please understand the spirit behind Islam is the spirit that is anti-Christ, that brings counter-revelations and messages about who he is and about, well, about who God and his nature is. And you've got to know that the Mahdi that the scholars, the Muslim scholars, are speaking about will not come to physical, visible presence and power and rule and reign the world from Jerusalem and the temple until there is massive, massive bloodshed. And only after the massive, chaotic, violent bloodshed of millions can the Mahdi come to power. And the goal is to rule in and out of the temple in Jerusalem. Now, it's without question, the Mahdi means the guided one, but you got to understand, read. And I want to encourage my friend that's writing in, read the book Antichrist by, it's called Islam's Way to Messiah, Joel Richardson. Because the facts are, the scripture teaches that a great chaos and bloodshed is coming. Only when the great chaos and bloodshed comes, out of that chaos will rise a new order that is guided by a world savior, a world leader, a world, well... Question is, if the Mahdi is the guided one, who is guiding him? Who is guiding him? So if somebody is a believer in one God, do you know that God? Do you know God in personal relationship? Let me tell you very clearly, very carefully, that almost every writer of the New Testament is Jewish, who had turned to Messiah. Let me tell you, whatever you do believe, that there's a vast difference in the agenda and message of Jesus Christ of old, old, the old Jewish Old Testament message, which again, most of Israel right now aren't really, they're not really, in the real sense, faithful to even Old Testament. But there is clearly a complete and total difference. So for anybody to say, well, the Christian God, the Jewish God, the Muslim God, all the same. No, that's not only not true. Muslims will not agree to that. Because what Muslims are basing all of their beliefs on is an entity named Allah, who is the old prince of Persia, that demonstrates the spirit of Antichrist. Against Christ, against the mission of Christ, and against, the end of days and what's going to occur. So please understand, when we talk about the Antichrist, 2,600 years ago, Daniel wrote about him. 2,000 years ago, Jesus in Matthew 24 speaks about the end of days. 2,000 years ago, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, very clear about the panoramic, sequential view of what will occur. Take a look at 1 John chapter 2 or the book of Revelation. Trying to merge it all together doesn't work. You don't come out. See, someone who says, well, I'm going to just try to merge it all together. The question is, does that mean that you sit in a higher seat? You have the ability to bypass all of what has been written and say that you're holding to something even higher. Do you even personally know the living God? To the Muslims out there, listen, we love you. We pray that you come to a personal relationship like Reza Safa did. And Reza Safa and thousands of Arabs proclaim Jesus Christ as personal living Lord and Savior. There's a grave concern. Prophecies from 2,000 years ago, 2,600 years ago, speak about, again, the Antichrist, Alice Bailey, guided by a demonic ascended master, also speaks in the same terms. A world leader, the Mahdi, fits the concept of the biblical revelation of a coming into Christ. The Mahdi isn't going to, serve Christ. Who is the Mahdi? Where's Muhammad? Who died on the cross? Whom did the angels of God worship? Whom did the demons fear? Come on, folks. We've got to understand there is truly a singularity, a spiritual singularity. Jesus Christ says in the Gospel of John, all of the Old Testament, all of the Scripture, everything written testifies, points to Him. Can I ask you a question tonight? Why did the demons fall to the ground in terror, knowing of a day of judgment and declaring Jesus Christ, that they knew who He was? They didn't do that with prophets. They didn't do that with anyone else. In all the deliverances where demons screamed through the mouths of individuals right in front of me, in every case in 30 years, they all fear Christ. They don't care about Quetzalcoatl, Buddha. They don't care about the Maitreya. They don't care about Muhammad or the concept of Mahdi. But if you ask underground Luciferians, and I know a number of them, they will tell you, I think biblical revelation will tell you, that the Antichrist to come does have bloodline connection to old Assyria, modern-day Syria, and will make a major, major connection with the Muslim-Islamic world that is being set up. I hope that you understand the singularity. Take a look at the cross. The cross is what speaks of the absolute difference. Allah has an agenda, ultimately about bringing rule to the world. Everywhere that is extended, you see this occurring, whether in the Philippines, the Sudan, whether in Spain, other parts of the world. And here in the United States, 50,000 maybe have gathered today. Their time has come, they say. There's proclamations being made. It'll be important to see how it all comes out. If you can take a look, Reza Safa says, former Shiite radical Muslim, now a believer in Christ. He's calling it a slap in the face of Christianity, but when he says that, I think he's referring to that we're asleep. That we're doing nothing. That whether millions have been lulled to sleep by the counterfeit spirituality across the land, or by the fear of conspiracies, question is whether or not a believer is doing the will of God, which is reaching every single human being for God in a personal relationship. No churches are supposed to be bearing weapons and arms. It's not a military endeavor. It is a spiritual endeavor taking the living Christ to human beings, telling them Jesus loves you. He's come to be your Savior. He can bring you healing. He can deliver you from demonic powers. He can give you right now, wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, right now He can give you the gift of eternal life dwelling within you. You can know that you know that you know that you know God. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar. We're at the end of the show. Pray that you will write to us and we'll try to get back to you. Thank you for the note that came in. God bless you.